What's up? We're live. Okay, I am Pete, and we are Comic Books Transformed. I'm over there with my good buddy Brian, Mr. Coors Hair, rocking a Deftones t-shirt tonight.
That's right.
One of our very favorite bands, right?
Yeah. We were both huge fans before we even met, too. So.
That's right. Brian, are Deftones your favorite band, or are they like in your top five?
Top 10.
Top 10.
Deftones is one of the few bands I listened to like a long time ago that I still consider like pretty high up there. Yeah. I kind of listen to a lot they're not so new anymore because I feel like I've been listening to them for 10, 15 years now. But this is like, I consider Deftones like the old guard of my favorite bands, sort of like in that range. But I still like them a lot and I still do consider them one of my favorites.
Okay. Yeah, we're keeping up the tradition of talking about something that's completely unrelated to what we're here to discuss, but that's okay. The Deftones, I would actually still consider them my favorite band. I just feel like I could just listen to them at any point and be like, oh, yeah, I love this. And pretty much like every song of theirs I love. So
yeah.
But anyway, what we're here to talk about today is Ahsoka Episode 5, which is called Shadow Warrior, and also the trailer for Aquaman Then Lost Kingdom just dropped a couple hours ago. So we're going to talk about that too.
Yes.
Yes. Out of those two, which one are you more excited to talk about?
We were just saying before that we don't have much to say on either. So I'm going to call it an even 50-50 here.
Nice. Okay. I kind of feel the exact same way. So why don't we just go on talking about Ahsoka. And so this episode was directed by Dave Filoni, who has, of course, written every episode of the season. Which starts off on the planet Cetos. I don't think I mentioned this in our last review, but that's the planet that has all the trees, and then it has this nice little beach area, and that's where the kind of like the compass is that's pointing to the other galaxy that the bad guys traveled to.
Yes.
And so in this episode, we have what I feel is like filler, where it's like Hera and her son Jason looking around for the missing characters. And then you have kind of the meat of the episode, which is Ahsoka and Anakin.
Now, yeah, I agree with that there. So we should add that this was the episode that was shown in theaters, right?
Yes.
Okay. maybe some of those scenes are there to pad out some runtime here. I was happy with the scenes with the Ahsoka side here. I do feel like a lot of the stuff on the side with Hera and Jason were very filler like.
Yeah.
They could have trimmed that down quite a bit, I think. But maybe they tried to pad it to increase the runtime to make a theatrical run more appealing. I don't know. That's a weird flex to try.
It's funny, right? Because there's definitely a distinction between classic Star Wars movies that everyone loves. Then you have like the prequels and the sequels, which are very similar, but there's big differences. Then you have these Disney Plus shows. And of course, you also have like the expanded universe. And then you have all the new content, like comic books and things like that. And I would say that the classic Star Wars movies, even though they are long, and I think that a lot of people from like my daughter's generation and stuff might consider them to be boring, I don't see filler in any of those original classic Star Wars movies.
I agree.
Right? But with these Disney Plus shows, it just feels like filler for so much of it.
Yeah. I think this could have been a lot tighter. I do question that idea of putting this in a theater. I don't see why.
There's something about the editing. It's like they're always like a beat too long with each thing. Like there's this one part, and you know, here's spoilers, but I keep thinking about this one scene where like Ahsoka is standing on her ship and they're looking at these space whales and she's talking to David Tennant's robot and she makes some kind of joke and then it like lingers on her just kind of like smiling. And then she like walks into the ship and it's like, okay, like cut that. Like, let's go.
Yeah. I think that, you know, like we just sort of said, maybe you set up the episode with Hera and Jason on the planet. You stick with Ahsoka the entire time while that's all going on. And then maybe you cut to them right at the very end or something. And then the scene where she's kind of interacting with the whales, I thought it was kind of interesting. It did kind of fill that sense of wonder that I get. I like in my Star Wars. But yeah, I do sort of agree with those kind of lingering moments on reactions like that after that joke there. I was also very kind of surprised that there was nothing with the other set of characters that we've been seeing every episode. So, you know, nothing with Sabine and Baylan and you know, all the other characters that traveled to the other galaxy. I think maybe that would have been better if you needed to cut in with Ahsoka or showing what's going on there at some point. Otherwise, this should have been shorter and should be a little more compact.
Yeah. Well, there's some fantastic Ahsoka memes. I tweeted one of them today, but one I didn't get a chance to tweet I wanted to show you was someone was like, hey, what if the galaxy that Thrawn and Sabine are in is actually just our galaxy and they're all just chilling at Denny's right now? And it showed like Grand Admiral Thrawn and Sabine and I don't know, maybe one of those dark Jedi like standing all together in Denny's.
Did you ever see that meme? Well, it's not a meme. I mean, I guess it is. So some like local hardcore band like played at Denny's and they, and then there's a video of some like singer going, "What's up, Denny's?"
No, I've never seen that.
Oh yeah, we got to find that and show that to you. It's funny.
Okay. Jesus, what's up, Denny's? Okay.
Maybe Thrawn was seeing that band at Denny's.
He was. He was like, "I love this world. Let's stay here.
I love Terran hardcore."
Yes. Give me some more pancakes. But I don't even know how he talks in the live action. But anyway, I'm okay with them not showing that whole side because it kind of will set up this next episode where it's all going to take place there. And, you know, we're going to see like, oh, what's this exciting new galaxy? How's it different? Like, that's actually exciting stuff.
So do you think that we're going to see the next episode is going to be just that and we're not going to see any of Ahsoka?
No, I think probably what will happen is that Ahsoka's going to show up with Hu Yang and these whales, and they're going to be like, where are they? And they're going to start to like explore, and maybe they'll catch up with everyone in the middle of the episode or at the very end of the episode, but it's going to be like exploring this new galaxy and how is it different?
I was figuring it would be more, it would make more sense to show their perspective of what they're doing and then maybe catch up with Ahsoka towards the end of it. But, you know, we'll see next week, I guess.
Maybe you should go write the damn episode, okay?
Or it would be a lot shorter.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, writers are on strike. They can always hire us to be scabs.
True.
Yes. But, I mean, okay, I don't want to move away from the editing, though, because there's one thing I brought up in our notes that I think really bothered me. You know, you have that kid, Jason, who, you know, I guess because he's Kanan's son, has an affinity for the Force, and he can hear Ahsoka having this lightsaber battle with Anakin in the world within worlds. And there's this sequence where, like, his mom walks into the ship. Then her ship takes off, and there's two X-Wings, and they fly. And they fly over him, and he's like, oh, my God, X-Wings. Like, I don't see these every fucking day, right? And so they do that scene, and then they're like, oh, they're coming back. Like, after that sequence, after they search, then they come back, and he's like, oh, X-Wings. And it's just like, you know, who gives a shit? I get, like, do that once. If you got to do it once.
Yeah, of course. The other thing too is I found this to be a moment of bad parenting that Hera just kind of leaves him sitting there while they can fly up.
Yeah, I think
it's an alien planet. They don't know what the hell's going on there. They didn't really, you know, do too much searching. You know, I mean,
yeah, they could have that centipede thing from Prometheus. You know, that would go right to that kid's mouth. You know, but like I think that droid that they're with, to Chopper, I think he's supposed to be kind of crazy too.
Yes.
Yeah,
he doesn't come off as crazy in this show, but I my understanding is that he's a little kind of a homicidal robot.
Yeah, so you just stay here, son, with this homicidal droid on the edge of this cliff.
Yes, on the edge of a cliff. Yeah,
where these dark Jedi were and a witch, and then we'll see it in a little bit. Okay,
and where no one else knows where you are.
Yeah. No one in the whole government of the universe knows where you are.
You know, I don't think I mentioned this last week. Okay. But, you know, along with Ahsoka, we have, you know, recurring character Carson Teva. But we have also seen another character in Rebels in The Mandalorian. Why has no one referenced him? I'm talking about Zeb, of course.
Oh, yes. Okay.
He was in the background. He had a quick line, you know, at one point in the end of an episode in The Mandalorian. Why has no one mentioned him? Well, why isn't he around? Like, what's...
Yeah.
I mean, I imagine the answer is practical. And it's like, how do we animate this on this budget? But it just seems like a story-wise, a kind of a missed opportunity to have, you know, as full a reunion as you can get.
Totally agree. I think that that question you just asked of how do we animate this on this budget leads into another question, which is like, how can we use him sparingly and for great effect? And I think that the great effect is that like maybe the Alliance or the Republic forces will show up at one point to save the day, and he'll be there like, oh, I'm here. And like, that'll be good.
Why
for
them. Why didn't you call me?
Yeah, right. That's how this shit works, though. It's like, oh, you're touching my nostalgia buttons, my erogenous zones. I love it. You know? So that's what they'll be into that, you know, when it comes out. But I haven't seen Rebels yet. I'm actually in the process right now of watching Clone Wars Season 3, just like straight through. And okay. I'm just going to try to watch as much of this stuff as I can while this show is still on. Okay. We're up to episode 5 and there's 8, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So let's go ahead and jump into the Anakin stuff. So what is your theory on what Anakin is in this scenario?
I have no idea. So we can see that Anakin clearly has memories or perspective on both his time before and after he became Darth Vader.
Right.
But there was also a scene where he didn't remember what had happened because it was after, you know, the characters parted in, from, I guess, in Clone Wars. So I don't know. Could it be a Force ghost? I'm not sure. Is it just a vision that she was seeing that she needed to that Ahsoka saw that she just needed to kind of figure out what she was doing or something? But honestly, the lesson here is real muddy to me.
Yeah,
I didn't quite understand what Ahsoka took away. I mean, I guess I get what she took away, but I don't know that I didn't get a sense that she needed to find something beforehand.
Right.
Like she lost the lightsaber battle, but I don't. And I feel like she came out of this with some kind of greater desire to use the Force for something other than combat.
Right. Agreed.
So she loses a battle and she comes out not wanting to do something with combat, which doesn't line up. So, I mean, I feel like I got sucked into the nostalgia of Anakin Skywalker and seeing Hayden Christensen, which is a weird thing to think about anyway, because prior to these shows, you know, including Clone Wars included, you know, Hayden Christensen's acting was kind of a joke in a way. It's often said how, you know, his and Natalie Portman's chemistry is very wooden in that prequel trilogy.
Yes.
But why is it cool now? I mean, like, it is like, I feel like I am seeing some kind of like acting redemption for Hayden Christensen. But why do I feel like that? I don't understand.
Yeah. Isn't there like an old truism that's kind of like, we look back with rose-colored glasses or some kind of shit like that?
Yeah, I guess it is. But, I mean, I still don't think it makes – yeah. So this – I've talked about this before, but I feel like while I do think his acting was questionable in the prequel trilogy, I think they did a decent enough job of portraying kind of his – you know, his initial innocence and then the loss of that innocence and then turning into Darth Vader. I thought that worked pretty well how they did it, but yeah. And then all this increased stuff of showing him as a heroic character kind of takes away from that a little bit, I think.
You did say that last episode. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like a weird thing. It's like, I'm happy to see Hayden Christensen as an actor redeeming himself, but at the same time, it makes me more conflicted about the character of Anakin Skywalker. And his transition between Anakin to Darth Vader.
Yeah. Have you ever watched the Red Letter Media Mr. Plinkett reviews on the prequels?
I have not.
Okay. Yeah. How about this? I'll check out your Denny's Hardcore Guy singer video, and you check out the Red Letter Media Mr. Plinkett prequel videos, right? Okay. Because that's what got me into Red Letter Media, and it was really great stuff. But one really excellent point they make about the prequels is that there's so much discussion about why everyone their friends or like why they have these deep relationships, but there aren't scenes that show the establishment of these relationships, right? Like Obi-Wan and Anakin have a discussion in an elevator in episode two where they're like, we've had so many adventures together, remember this? But they don't really show that, right? And I think that there's all this talk about Anakin, even going back to A New Hope, where Anakin is this hero of the Clone Wars, and yet you don't see a lot of that in the prequels. You see like action scenes, but a lot of times he's kind of doing the wrong thing, like killing sand people and messing up Obi-Wan's rescue and stuff. So I actually do like his portrayal in the Clone Wars cartoon, because I feel like it makes more sense that like him and Obi-Wan have a closer relationship. Like you can see their friendship in that show, and then you can see why he was such a beloved hero for that time, you know?
Yeah. Yes, I guess that's true as well. I don't know. I have some weird conflict with this, and I can't really, maybe I can't express it as well as I'm thinking.
Well, like one thing that like 40 something year old white guys like us, and I guess people in general that like Star Wars, but definitely like a group that we fit into the quota of, is they'd be like, oh, Hayden Christensen, he's bad in the prequels, but he's really good in this movie, Shattered Glass. And that's not the Transformers universe where they're like the inverse, right? Shattered Glass is this movie where he's like a news reporter that I think he like makes up stories or he changes the facts. And I saw that movie, and he's actually legitimately very good in that movie. Okay. So a lot of people like to say that it's George Lucas's fault and George Lucas doesn't know how to work with actors. And so that's the reason why everything's so awkward with Anakin. I bet you it's like a little bit of both. I think that Hayden had a lot to learn from that time in his life to now.
Yeah.
And I think his goodwill towards fans and stuff has made people appreciate him a lot more.
Fair.
Right?
Fair.
Okay. Because isn't he a big fan of the cartoons and stuff too? I think he's like watched all the Clone Wars cartoons.
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah. There's always like two types of actors when it comes to Star Wars. There's the people that like, they feel like they're not connected at all. And they're like, oh yeah, I was in that shit. What color lightsaber did I have? And then there are the people that like are really into the fandom and keep track of things. Like I think like Freddie Prinze Jr. and fucking guy that we mentioned last week, that Starkiller. Sam Witwer. Like there's those types, you know, and then there's like kind of the bigger name movie stars where they are just kind of like, oh yeah, I was in that. And I think that Hayden Christensen erred on the side of, you know, loving the fandom and going to conventions and being positive about it. But it's so ironic, right? Because he's playing this character that had to redeem himself and like he's redeeming himself now in this role, like you said, you know?
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. So what did you think about his interactions with Rosario Dawson? Like, do you think that was Dawson? Was that good or?
I felt the interactions with him and the younger Ahsoka were better.
Right.
And I would like to point out that younger Ahsoka was played by Ashley Greenblatt, who played young Gamora in Infinity War and Endgame.
Right. Then you also have one other person that kind of blew my mind, because she was one other person too.
Oh, God. I don't know. She was in Barbie.
Oh, okay. Right. She was like the girl.
The daughter in Barbie.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so she's in some big stuff right now.
Yes.
Infinity War and this, and then, you know, in Barbie too. Wow, okay. I didn't even realize that was her, because, I mean, she has, like, heavy makeup on, you know, in the other two roles.
She looked sort of familiar, and I had to go look at the name, and I happened to notice it, and I looked it up. I'm like, I know this face from somewhere.
Right.
And I also felt that the scenes where they're kind of recreating the Clone Wars battles, it hits a little differently when you see an actual child there and it's not an animated character, you know, because like, you know, they're grown clone soldiers.
Yes.
And there's a little kid there with a lightsaber.
Yes.
So that's the kind of horror of war kind of like hits a little bit different there, which is probably what helped push me towards kind of liking their interactions better.
Yeah. That's a really, really great point. I felt the exact same way, because like the soldiers, they look like bulkier and more intimidating than they do in the cartoon. And then Ahsoka looks younger and smaller. So
yes.
Yeah. What did you think of like the fog and stuff? That was, I think it was the Battle of Lothal. That was where there was a lot of fog. What did you think of that?
I mean, to me, I didn't really think too much about it other than it was just used to kind of, so they had to do less special effects work for the background.
Yeah. But I mean, it does have that feeling of like, okay, well, we are trying to like conceal a lot of things, but then it leads to this really great moment, which is probably my favorite moment of the whole series, when like Anakin is like, come on, we have to keep going. And he like walks into the fog and then like he becomes Darth Vader for a second, then he becomes Anakin again. I love that.
Yeah. That was a very cool visual. Yes.
Yeah. And so, okay. So let's circle back to what we were talking about though, of like, well, what is Anakin in this episode? And I kind of talked about the world within worlds last time. I was saying how it's sort of this like place in between reality where you could like literally travel through time and like look into different parts of time. When I started to kind of like speculate about the sequel movies and like where they might go, I was thinking about the idea of like force ghosts. And I was thinking about the idea of like, well, what if force ghosts exist because essentially it's like the person that's the force user that's so strong, like a person like Luke, it's more like they're using the force to be able to talk to the memory of someone versus it being a ghost. And I really liked that idea. And I was thinking, like, what if Anakin was something like that and Ahsoka was kind of manifesting him, you know?
Yeah, that could work. So, I mean, my initial the initial take that I thought was that it was some literal place that was outside of time and that he was actually there. That's the kind of impression I got last week.
Right.
But, I think what you're saying makes a lot more sense because, you know, they are showing him in different ages and different time periods.
Right.
And having different... at different points of his life, because, you know, at one point he's using the blue saber and then the point he has the red.
Right.
You see the anger in his eyes, you see the haircut change and all that. I did notice a lot of people also commenting on the, you know, the de-aging technology.
Yeah.
It didn't make a difference to me. Like, I didn't really notice it. I didn't think it looked bad or anything. So, no.
It's funny. Someone tweeted that they turned him into Carrie Coon. Do you know who Carrie Coon, or maybe it's Carrie Coons. Do you know who that is?
I think so. Yeah.
She's this great, great fucking actress. She's in like the third season of Fargo, I think. Or maybe it's the second, but I think it's the third season of Fargo. Fargo's fucking great. She's one of the leads in that. And then she was in Infinity War, another person in Infinity War. She was fucking...
Oh, yeah. Proxima Midnight.
Proxima Midnight. Thank you so much. She's also this really great movie with Jude Law, which I can't remember the fucking title. If Sherry was here, she would tell me, but she's really good in that too. Anyway, whatever the case... that's what they said that Hayden Christensen looked like.
Huh. Interesting. Okay. I'm going to have to look up a side-by-side comparison because I mainly remember Carrie Coon as Proxima Midnight, which is not an accurate representation.
Yes. Yes. Good point. Yeah. Yeah. So the aging didn't bother me and I thought it looked pretty seamless. And I felt the exact same way as you, where it's like the younger version of Ahsoka and then the younger version of him. That's where the key interaction was. Eckhart's Ladder, who I quote a lot in this show, he brought up this one point of how Ahsoka says, "I will not fight you," and then Anakin says, "I've heard that before." It's just a great, great fucking
line. That was moment. Yeah, that was a great line. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, but I really do like the idea of like sort of Anakin not necessarily like being fully redeemed; that he's sort of still struggling with the ghost of Darth Vader. Like I like that concept a lot.
Okay. Yeah. But I wish that was more clear that what he was and what it was there. I'm still, like I said, I'm fuzzy on what lesson Ahsoka learned here, sort of. And I'm curious to what you think it was.
Well, I think it's something lame. I think the lesson that Anakin was trying to teach her was like, don't give up on living, keep fighting to live. I mean, okay. I think it's so ambiguous that it's not that's a flaw in how ambiguous it is.
Yeah.
You know, it should be clear what her lesson was, the lesson that he was trying to teach her.
Yeah. And no, it needed to be clear what Ahsoka needed to get out of it. And then what lesson she got out of it. I think it was too ambiguous. And also, did you kind of get like a Gandalf the White kind of vibe afterwards?
Yes. Cause she was all white wearing. Yeah. But what I would say though is, I would really like it. Like the part of me that's a storyteller that likes to talk about story mechanics and stuff. I would personally like it if Anakin was trying to teach her a lesson, but that Anakin's lesson was wrong and that he himself kind of needed a lesson. and that his lesson seemed to be, don't give up the fight, keep fighting. And that's sort of like what led him to be Darth Vader, because, you know, he kept fighting fate, right? Because he didn't want Padme to die. And so because he did that, it led to him becoming Darth Vader. And I like the idea of, like, Anakin hasn't learned that lesson. He's trying to keep teaching his Padawan that lesson. And she's saying, like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be a warrior. Just because I'm a Jedi doesn't mean I'm a warrior. Like, I like that idea. And if they're going with that, I can appreciate the show more.
That would be fantastic. And I wish that was more clear in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. What's really sad, man, is that, like, I do think that they didn't have a clear direction for the sequels. And I think that what Rian Johnson was maybe trying to do with Last Jedi was teach the idea of, like, or not teach the idea, but, like, give off the idea that, like, you don't have to be a Jedi or a Sith. You could be something else. And I think that that might've been the path for Rey. And then just Rise of Skywalker just ends up being this sort of, like, backpedal, just canceling everything.
Yeah.
You know, because I like the idea of, this is the lesson that we learned over the two other trilogies, like the prequels and the regular Star Wars movies. We learned that it's like, you don't have to be black and white. You can be something in between. And
I think that's the biggest failure of the sequel trilogies, is that, you know, you just said the name of the second movie and I can't remember it anymore.
Last Jedi.
The Last Jedi is a terrible follow-up to The Force Awakens.
Yes.
But it's a great movie.
Yes.
On its own. And then, you know, Rise of Skywalker is a terrible follow-up to The Last Jedi. So,
but it's a bad movie.
And it's a bad movie, yes.
Yes. Well, okay. I'm really glad we're still talking about the sequels, though, because I want to make 2 points. One is that my whole idea of a Force user kind of manifesting someone because they're so powerful, they're able to, like, almost like conjure the spirit of someone. I feel like that kind of makes sense when you see Han Solo talk to Ben Solo, right?
Yes. Again, though, I wish that was more clear here. I feel like this is our kind of fantasy booking thing here, and this makes a ton of sense, and this would make it so much better. But it's so ambiguous, and I feel like we're so used to getting hit with the kind of most common denominator answer is the actual truth.
That's a good way of putting that. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, hopefully, I don't know. It sort of seems like the most common denominator stuff is like the Disney Plus way to go, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. It's never this sort of like more intriguing, deeper thing. And we're the guys that covered fucking Willow and stuff on this channel too.
Yes.
Yeah. But I had like one last point I wanted to make, unless you wanted to bring up other things about it. But I feel like for me, I haven't seen Ahsoka's interaction with the Rebels characters. So I don't know if like there's this deep bond with her and them, and then she's with them for like two seasons or something, or she's like a main cast member, but I feel like she's not. I feel like she's like in a little bit of the show and then she's missing, then she comes back. But with that being said, I feel like her motivation to like stop Thrawn and to save Ezra, it just doesn't feel genuine. To me, it feels like it's like, okay, we're going from Clone Wars to Rebels. Then we're going from Rebels to fucking Mandalorian. And then we're going from Mandalorian to the sequel trilogy. And it's just kind of explaining why certain things are happening to her versus like having a real emotional reason to want to stop Thrawn and save Ezra.
Yeah. She was in a significant amount of Rebels, I think.
She was?
Especially in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Almost like 28 episodes or so.
Holy shit. How many episodes of the show are there?
I don't know, but she's in seasons 1 through 4, which I believe 4 is the last season of it. So she is in a lot of the show.
Okay.
You know, so I think that connection there is just something we missed.
I guess so. Yeah,
it might be there, but you're right though. I do wish I better understood, as someone who hasn't watched those shows, the need to go to save Ezra, to stop Thrawn from coming back. I do have a general idea of what of Thrawn from Expanded U, but in terms of the relation between him and what they went through with these characters, I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, because like maybe it's like that she, you know, because in the Clone Wars show, the reason why she leaves the Jedi Order and that she's able to be safe when it comes to Order 66 is that she gets like framed for the murder, I think, of a Jedi Master. And she has to go through this whole trial, which leads her to be like, she just like disagrees with the way the Jedi handle things and the way the Republic handles things. And so she leaves the Order. And then we saw in that show, Tales of the Jedi, that at one point she's sort of like just living somewhere off the grid and just trying to not get found as a Jedi. So it's interesting if maybe, I don't know, maybe in Rebels, it's kind of like she kind of finds her new family after being in the Jedi Order. Like maybe the crew of the Ghost is like her new family.
Maybe.
You know, so that would make more sense that like she's so connected to Ezra and she's against Thrawn then, you know?
Yeah. So, but you know, that's on us for watching the show and commenting on it without watching the stuff before it.
Yeah. I mean, I totally agree with that point, but I also kind of feel like we should still somehow be able to glean that.
Yeah.
You know, regardless.
Right? I bet there are a lot of people that are like us that are just watching the show that haven't watched the Cardinal. Actually, one of the biggest Star Wars fans I know, my friend James, he's not a fan of animation. He just doesn't watch anything animated, but he loves Star Wars. It's his favorite thing.
Yeah.
So live action stuff he loves. He is loving this show, but he has not watched any Clone Wars, any Rebels, anything that's been animated.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm trying to rectify that. I'm on season 3 of Clone Wars. I'm going to go into Rebels right after. It's interesting because like the people that we know that we're close to that are Star Wars fans, they don't like this show. But then I'll see people on Twitter that will say, like, this is really good and it's, like, the best Star Wars show. And I'm like, it's Andor, but, you know, you can like this show too, you know? but, yeah, I mean, I guess we'll see. There's still 3 episodes left. I thought this episode was – I liked this episode the best out of all of them so far. What about you?
I might go with the episode before as my favorite so far, although I really wish I would have – if they would have been more clear about their objectives here and what they wanted to do, I think it would have been a lot better because you really do feel those the power in the scenes with Anakin and Ahsoka, especially the young Ahsoka. You know, so I think that this episode had some of the best of in this show, but I think as a whole, it's a little messy to me.
Yeah, come on, Dave Filoni. You were doing double duty, man. Fucking take off that cowboy hat. Get a little less ambiguous. Ambiguous? What the fuck? That's what happens when you make this stuff when you have a full-time job and kids and stuff. Ambiguous. All right. That's probably not a word that is going to be in the Aquaman sequel, but there will be ridiculous fucking things in that movie, as we can tell by the trailer that just dropped today.
Yes. Brian, I was happy to see Aquaman riding a giant seahorse.
Yes. And it's weird because I don't know how you feel about Jason Momoa. I want you to tell me after I blabber here. But I like Jason Momoa. I think he's very likable. I think he's very charismatic. I don't think his characters are always the best characters in a movie. Like sometimes I think they're kind of dumb. I actually think his Aquaman is kind of lame, but I think he himself is charismatic. Does that make sense?
Yes, I agree. I get that they wanted to choose someone with his kind of a look for the character because the character is kind of the butt of jokes,
right?
And has been for many years. But I mean, comic book fans know otherwise because they've actually read the comics. But to the casual person, Aquaman is kind of a joke.
Yeah,
his power is talking to fish. But we know it's more than that. We know it's better than that. And I would never have cast – I don't think I would have cast Jason Momoa as Aquaman. Right. But I do like Jason Momoa a lot. I also don't think that he is necessarily a leading man.
Yes.
And I don't know what – but I do like seeing him in things. I like him better when he's part of an ensemble as this character than I think I do as him, you know, playing the lead character in a movie. Although I don't hate the first Aquaman movie. Like it's higher than you think for me. You know, and I don't know if that's a saying that the movie's good or this everything else is so bad. Yeah. But you know, it is higher on the scale for me in terms of DC movies.
Didn't you see it for like a really long time too?
I didn't see it for a long time. I watched it on HBO Max. Probably after I watched Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that took that long for it. Yeah. But yeah. I kind of enjoyed it.
Yeah.
My son really liked it a lot. My son is obsessed with Black Manta.
Yes. I'm going to reference Danny twice now. So first off, have you seen Danny's favorite film, Dune?
I have not.
Oh, you haven't seen that?
I have not seen it.
Oh, shit. Well, you don't have
it. I've not seen the original. I've not seen the new one.
Come on, man. What the fuck are you doing, man? Come on. Okay. I'm almost going to make it that we have to review it for this channel.
Okay. Let's do it.
You might start to resent me after that. But I was going to say, he's in Dune, and he's very serious. And he's serious as Khal Drogo, too, in Game of Thrones. And I think he makes it work in both of those cases. I don't usually think of him as a serious actor. I kind of think of him as this Aquaman in like every movie, but he's not like that in Dune or in Game of Thrones. But he's just this kind of like meathead in Aquaman. And I feel like it's this kind of misrepresentation of the character. Like, can you think of any comic book characters in movies that are like so very different from their comic book counterparts?
Well, maybe this is kind of a side answer to your question here, but I feel like he's playing Lobo now. He may be actually be up for playing at some point. But I think he is playing Lobo in an Aquaman costume.
Yeah, there's this one part in this fucking trailer where he just like runs into a statue and hits it with his shoulder. Yeah. That is very Lobo-like.
That's a very Lobo thing to do.
Yeah, which is so silly because his brother Orm, Ocean Master, looks like Aquaman.
Yeah. Oh my god, shit.
They did that on that's on purpose. That's intentional. They made Patrick Wilson look like that so he'd look like the Aquaman that we know from our childhood.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like that's the whole thing, right? Because that in itself is like worthy of a thesis paper or at least a fucking YouTube essay, right? Video essay where we talk about how to sort of make the comic book movie genre, which is the dominant genre, be more inclusive. We take characters that are just essentially like straight cut white men and start to change them. And I don't know Jason Momoa's ethnicity. I think Samoan he's at least part Samoan, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Right. So you take this character. I mean, Arthur's obviously had long hair and a beard in many comic book versions and animated versions, but like they leaned all the way into that for this movie. And I don't know if, I mean, it's like I always have to make that call in my head. Am I being like these fanboys that are like, that's not my Aquaman? Or is it like, are they changing the character too much and it's not the character? You know what I'm saying?
Honestly, you just completely blew my mind about Patrick Wilson, like looking like Aquaman.
You got to keep up, man.
I need to rewatch these movies now with that kind of view in mind and see if it would have been like, like already I'm thinking like, wow, that would have been fucking awesome.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I might as well just use it as my platform for like fantasy booking and my bullshit. But like, there's a lot of times where I always come up in my head with like, this is going to be my DC movie that's going to save the DCEU. It's going to be amazing. And I put together this like Suicide Squad movie in my head one time. And I made it where he was Orm, but he like looked like fucking Aquaman. And they basically had to bust him out of prison to go do some kind of mission. And I was like, that'd be a fucking awesome movie. And that's what they're doing in this movie now.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. So with that being said, do you feel like this is somehow slightly tied into Blackest Night on some level?
Blackest Night.
Okay, do you want me to tell you my reasoning?
Yes, please.
You want me to just kind of fucking hog the conversation and just talk a lot?
Go for it, because I have no answer here.
No. The only reason why I think that is because when they're showing all these clips of like ancient Atlantis, I think Patrick Wilson says there was the Black Trident and the Black Trident was like this cursed thing that all the people from the Seven Kingdoms fought against, right? And it looks like the Black Trident sort of like brings zombified creatures to life. And so I was wondering if it's like, you know, Darkest Night, where it's like you can bring back the dead using a tool, you know?
That would be an interesting way to go to use a Green Lantern story in an Aquaman movie.
And so here's a little interesting kind of rabbit hole to go down. Jason Momoa is the one that pitched the idea for this movie to James Wan.
Interesting. Okay.
And the only reason why I bring that up is because they asked Zachary Levi, what would he like to do with Shazam, or what do you think would be a good way to go with Shazam after the last sequel that bombed poorly at the box office? And he said that he thought it'd be cool to have Shazam team up with Green Lantern and to fight against zombies like in Blackest Night. And so something makes me wonder if like these actors that work on DC movies somehow got like a free access to like Blackest Night and the Green Lantern books. And they're like, this is awesome. We should do this. Zombies.
Maybe. I feel like I can hear Jason Momoa pitching Aquaman 2 as like buddy cop with Orm more so than Aquaman versus zombies.
Yes.
But to be fair, I am kind of interested in that kind of buddy cop aspect here.
Yes.
You know, that is appealing to me. And now I have this whole idea in my head that they're going to like do some weird thing where they're going to have Orm be Aquaman now, and he'll look like Arthur Curry, but he won't be Arthur Curry. And they'll have Jason Momoa be Lobo, and he will look like Aquaman, but he won't be Lobo. I'm trying to make it work in my head, and I can't yet.
Yes. I want that to happen too. Believe me. You know, we're talking about all these people that are in this movie, and we haven't even talked about the most controversial part. We haven't talked about Amber Heard.
Was she even in the trailer?
She's in the trailer for like 3 seconds.
Okay, I might have completely missed it, honestly. I mean, I noticed they, that is Nicole Kidman, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Yes.
I wonder if they kind of reshot some stuff with Nicole Kidman after that, all that stuff came out with Amber Heard. Maybe she has a more prominent role.
Yes. This is funny. Like you know, Chris. Now we're gonna bring him into this too. But I know he's not a big fan of her. But
it's such a weird thing, and it's weird to have her be so prominent in the first one. And I think, you know, the rumors were that she's in this for like less than 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, because of all this stuff. It's going to be weird to not have that character.
Right.
And I almost wish they would have recast it rather than ruining the character, cutting the character screen time. But at the same time, after seeing this trailer, I am very interested in the Orm Aquaman team up here.
Yes. Well, the guy who was the head of Warner Brothers prior to David Zaslav, or whatever his name is, he had to testify in that Amber Heard Johnny Depp trial. He was like literally on the stand, and it was talking about how like they were going to cut her out of this movie because of the whole scandal with Johnny Depp, and they made it to where she's in a reduced role. And his reasoning was that they weren't doing it because of the scandal. They were doing it because of her lack of chemistry with Jason Momoa. Did you feel like there was a lack of chemistry between them?
That was the biggest negative of the movie, was their lack of chemistry.
Yes. It was pretty horrible. You know, and they're like making out on like a fucking turtle or something at the end. It is just,
you know, awkward. You know, we talked about Hayden Christensen and Natalie Portman earlier. Like those two pairings up there for like worst on-screen chemistry in sci-fi, I would say.
Yes. You could almost do a horror movie of like them double dating, and you're just like cringing the whole time. You're like, ugh. But it's funny, right? Because in the trailer, he says 4 years ago, I was unemployed and I was searching, and now I'm a husband and I'm a father. And then they don't show Merritt. Like when they say husband, they don't show him like kissing her or anything like that. They say father and they show a little baby.
Yeah, that's the weird. That's what makes her absence in the trailer and the potential movie even more weird.
Right. They do show her. They do show her like right before the end. It's like 3 seconds, and it's like you're looking from inside of a ship or something, and you're looking out into the ocean, and she's punching the window, and the window kind of shatters.
Okay. That's all you see. I might have missed that.
Yeah, it's probably like Black Manta's forces, like one of his troops or something, is seeing her punch the window, you know?
Okay.
But yeah, you probably are 100% on the money where it's like they probably switched out those scenes with her in it and put Nicole Kidman in her spot.
Yeah. And also, I'm also just realizing the connection here of, you know, of, oh my God, I can't remember the actor's name.
Dolph Lundgren?
Not Dolph Lundgren. But
Patrick, you know, Wilson?
Not Patrick Wilson.
Tamara Morrison?
Yeah, Tamara Morrison, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that until now, that we're covering two things that he's in.
Yes, yes, yes. Just in voice, because I think in those flashbacks, they don't show his face, right, at all?
You definitely hear his voice. His voice is unmistakable. But I thought they might have showed a face very briefly.
She's like...
No, the only time a soldier doesn't have a helmet in Ahsoka is... The dying one, and they don't show his face. So
yeah, it's got like a cloth over his face or something. Yeah, yeah. No, I don't know. I saw the Aquaman trail, and I'm like, I am gonna see this. I'm probably gonna like parts of it, but I'm also gonna think it's really fucking stupid. And that's what I thought of the first one.
Yeah, I know. The first one is a big dumb movie, but I still liked it, and I think there are some good visuals in it, and I like the idea of you know, this whole underwater kingdom with all its internal politics and all that. And, you know, I remember, I'm thinking back to Young Justice, like that arc that was all in Atlantis. I mean, yes. Like, what, was, you know, things like that, like, that's awesome. Yeah. So I'm expecting this to also be a big, dumb movie that I may kind of enjoy.
Right.
At the same time, though, I haven't forgotten about those kind of rumors that how worried executives were about this movie.
Yeah.
And I remember even like a week ago, I was seeing articles about, you know, the state of this movie and how weird it is that we haven't seen anything for it. And now it's finally here.
Yeah.
You know, about 2.5 months, two and a half months.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's like December.
I mean, I guess that's sort of on par. No?
No.
You're a lot earlier?
You usually see stuff like at least 6 months in advance, like a trailer. Or something.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Fair. Yeah.
But I like it. I actually liked Black Manta in the first movie. I'm happy that they're bringing him back for the sequel. I love Black Manta as a villain. He's one of my favorites.
So as does my son. I think, I don't know where it came from. I think he just likes the costume, how it looks.
His costume's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny because someone did a supercut on Twitter where it was all the times that conversations in the Aquaman movie got interrupted by explosions. And there was at least four times, you know, yeah. And it's funny because like in the trailer, they show a scene where it's like, okay, they clearly were having a conversation and then here's an explosion. Like you see the people going, you
know, oh man.
So this is the 15th and final DCEU movie. So after this one, we definitely got to rank all of them.
Yeah, of course.
Have you seen all of them at this point then?
Yeah, that was the only one I haven't seen. The only thing I haven't seen DC is Green Lantern, but that doesn't count here. So
yeah, that's not DCEU. Yeah. So, man, well, that's cool. I guess we are done talking about Aquaman then. I had fun. Next week, we just have more Ahsoka episode 6. And I think that's it until what,
We had Gen V dropping sometime soon. I gotta look up that release date.
My birthday.
Oh yeah, that's right. It is your birthday.
Yeah.
That should be in 2 weeks. We should have at least an episode of that to talk about. Did we ever talk about that trailer? Have you even watched
it? I haven't even watched it. So
okay. I will just basically say that I am excited about this because this show is kind of covering an arc in The Boys that they kind of skipped over, that is kind of like lampooning the X-Men. And from to me, the trailer doesn't really show much of the kind of the X-Men connections that I would have liked to have seen.
Yeah.
But I'm still excited for it.
Okay. Well, you know, I haven't watched it yet, so I could watch it. And then like, if Ahsoka isn't really something that we could spend a whole hour talking about, we could talk about that too.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Nice. And it is September 29th is my birthday. And if you guys want to give me a birthday present, you could subscribe to Comic Books Transformed. Brian and I make a video every week. And we will be back next Thursday then to talk about Ahsoka Episode 6. We'll see you all then. Thank you.